I thought that it would be an appropriate morning to look at that passage, seeing what we were doing, giving God thanks and giving our folks thanks for how they've served in the youth ministry and also in the children's ministry. So I want to draw our attention on how this passage that Peter just read for us, how it has been displayed for us this morning. We together are the body of Christ. You by yourself are not the body of Christ. We together are God's church. We together are God's family. When God saved you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He brought you into His family. That's what He did. So it is accurate to say God's family is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. So because of that, the church is a way bigger deal than any of us ever makes of it. Jesus made the church with the sacrifice of His blood. It wasn't an afterthought for God. That was His plan. So church should be central to the Christian because of Jesus. The church should be central to the Christian because of Jesus. And as individuals in this family through Jesus Christ, we each play a role. We each have a part, a function in this family. Today we've seen examples of family members and their roles in our family, children's ministry and youth ministry. These folks you saw up here, they know that it's the parents' role, the parents' job to raise their kids in God's Word. But they also know that as a church family, we collectively come alongside the parents and encourage and support and participate in adding to what the parents are already doing. So these people up here are in intentional relationships with parents and with kids to help train them, to help walk with each other as we worship the Lord together. The people you saw up on the stage are not university or college trained children or youth workers. They love God. Some of them love kids. Others like kids. But they understand what the church family is all about. And that these relationships with these kids and these families are important no matter what age. Church family is to support and encourage and challenge Christians in their worship of the Lord. And so family members need to do their part, their role, their function. Some of us, and I hear some of us talk this way and act this way, some of us say the type of things that verses 15 to 19 talk about. Here's what it says. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? So here's the argument. So you see the children and the youth ministry workers up here, and you say to yourself, well, I'm not a children or a youth worker, or I can't do what these musicians do. I can't do what those people do. And so you pull back. You don't see yourself as fitting in the church. And so you don't serve anywhere because you're not like them. You're not like these youth workers and these children workers. And in a way, you say to yourself, the church is doing fine without me. They got their ears and their hands and their feet. They don't need me. I'm not needed in this body. And so you fall back to just coming on Sunday mornings to the service, and that's it. This 1 Corinthians 12 passage is against that kind of thinking. It doesn't support that kind of thinking. What's amazing is God has given his family many different parts, many different members, to do many different things. God has not made his family to be just a bunch of children and youth ministry workers. I've said it before, I've always loved my kids, and I've really liked your kids. But I'm not wired up for children's ministry. And so I'm glad that we have those who are wired up for children's ministry. We need to understand that you and I have been brought into this church family. You have been bought by the blood of Christ. And you have gifts arranged by God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Given to you for the common good, for the good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So when you say, I've got nothing to offer the church, it's not true. It's not true. The Bible says so. We just have to find out how you fit in this body. The children and the youth ministry teams, they found a fit. Is it a perfect fit? For some of them, yes. And others, maybe not. But this is their family, Calvary Baptist Church. And we are brothers and sisters. And they are intentionally being involved in our lives, in their relationship with parents and with their kids, to love them and to serve them and support them and help train them. They are gifted people, and they are using their giftedness and actually being a family, being family members. You too are wired up in a certain way. You do certain things well. And the reason that you have that ability, the reason that God has given you that ability, is for the benefit of us. Not the benefit of yourself, but the benefit of us, Calvary Baptist Church. So you are gifted, and you are gifted so that you would pour that out onto us. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. That means that none of this is a one-man show. I don't do all things, you don't do all things, but together we do a bunch of things together, and that makes this family function a little bit better. Are we still a dysfunctional family? You bet. You bet we're a dysfunctional family. But we do our parts, we do our roles, and we come to terms with the fact that I cannot lead music, and I don't aspire to, and I'm done with that. They know how to lead music, so they lead music. And we come to terms with that and lay that down. We're a family. Sadly, over the years, serving in the church has had a bad view, and I think it's partially due to our own personal, what we're doing, but also how the church has talked about serving in the church. Some believe that you retire from serving in the church family. I'm retired from my job. Well, I'm retired from the church now, which is not found in the Bible anywhere. Some believe you participate in the church family only when there's time. Some believe, hey, Edgar, just be glad you get anything out of me, all right? Just be happy for what you get. And then there's the word program, we throw that around a lot, you know, and we reduce it to something like show up on Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m., put in your time, and then go home and don't think of it again for the rest of the week. It's sad how we talk about serving and ministry and programs. We should really change the name of those things and just call them what they are or what they truly should be. Intentional relationships. Intentional friendships, you know? So to the kids on Sunday morning, this wouldn't work very well because they wouldn't know what we're talking about. But we say something like, all right, all the kids, you're heading downstairs to intentional relationships with the other kids and those adults that are down there. You know, for youth or for mom's ministry, it's intentional friendships for moms or intentional friendship lunches or intentional relationship coffees for men. Change the name so that we don't forget or miss the context of the church family functioning together and being together, that they're not just programs or ministry or serving or putting in my time, but it's the church family getting together and being in relationship and friendship with each other. And we are a family. We do love each other, and we have roles in this family. And one of the ways we can live out that love and that friendship is by serving each other, just like we do in our homes where we serve each other, we serve our spouses or our kids. So, to those of you who are serving, I can see Glenn Monahan back there. He's barbecuing for us. He's serving us. I'm sure he doesn't enjoy having all the hot dog grease burned into his hair that he's going to smell for the rest of the evening.
I love it.
He does love it. There we go. He's wired up differently and therefore serves in that capacity. For those of you that are serving, I want to thank you. As leadership, we often, elders and management, we often pray and give thanks to all of you who are doing some behind-the-scenes stuff that we just don't know about, right? Like, we're going to be playing ball out there. Well, the field, the grass is cut. It's still growing, but it was cut by somebody. Right? And that was Jerry Warmenhoven. He's out there. I think he said yesterday morning at 6 a.m. He loves doing it. 6 a.m. He's out there driving around on the tractor. Why did he do that? Because he's got nothing to do? No. He knows that we're coming to play ball today, so he's serving us. He's in this relationship with us by serving us, to giving us a field to play on. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. There's others of you that are just, you're behind the scenes, just constantly making things function, and we don't even notice, but if you stop, we will notice. But you're making things happen here in our family, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you. Thank you for thinking about it, and then doing it, and driving here, driving there, putting your time in. You're doing it even when you don't feel like doing it. You're still doing it. Thank you. Thank you for loving our family. Thank you for being in this relationship with us and caring for us. Thank you. To those of you that are not serving in the church family anywhere, hear the Holy Spirit's conviction. It's not me. Hear the Holy Spirit's conviction. But do this. Don't sit in guilt and don't walk away from here going, oh, Edgar just gave us trouble for not serving. Nah, that's not what I'm doing. Walk away from here going, ready to discern where you could safely and wisely and joyfully, without stress, without neglecting your spouse or your family, discern where you could bring yourself and give and receive a relationship. Discern where you could regularly spend time in intentional relationships here in your church family. You will not be sorry, because God wired you up for this. He wired you up for this. So I want to invite you to put thought into it. Where can I serve in my church family? We're not calling you to put 40 hours in a week. But we're asking, God is calling you, where, how are you wired up, and where can you fit in and be in those relationships with your church family? All right? Just do that. Give some thought to it this week. Pray about it and pay attention to how you're wired up. Pay attention to what's already being done here and come alongside us. Talk to people and join the church family in these tighter relationships. All right. I'm going to pray. Then our music team is going to come up. They're going to lead us in a song. And then after the benediction, we're going to pray for the food, and then we're going to go outside and we're going to enjoy each other. We're going to enjoy eating some hot dogs that may contain food, may contain meat in them. We're not sure. Who knows what hot dogs are made of? But we're going to bless them so that